Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
See, it turned into a went from a fart to a little tune.
I was like, are we starting it out with a fart sound effect? Like,
then I changed it.
Yeah, but it was like a dubstep riser, like. Yeah, guys, welcome to Super Mega Cast episode
193.
Man,
I said it before you.
I know you did, and I.
Sorry, not sorry.
Let's restart the podcast.
Nope.
I told you I wanted to say the number this time, and it's really shitty that you would do that.
Well,
I'm getting sick of this, man. I quit at episode 200.
Oh.
I'm getting sick of you.
Oh, shit,
I try to say the episode number has always been my thing.
Super Mega finally breaks up.
Yeah, man, but welcome, everybody. It's I'm Matt Watson.
And I'm Ryan McGee.
Because some people still, 193 episodes in, say they can't tell the difference between our voices.
I feel like we have a very similar tone of voice.
Yeah, we do.
Like, it would be, I don't know, it would be the same. Imagine if you don't know how to speak English and you heard these two voices talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, I always wondered, like, how do people not tell our voices apart? And then recently I went on a podcast called Pod About List, and it's three hosts. And I know all of them separately, but when I listen, I only know one of the guy's voices.
Who are the hosts?
This guy named Caleb, L. Caleb
on
Twitter.
Was the podcast you went on?
Yeah, the podcast just went on. And I know Caleb's voice, but the other two, like, I just can't, when I listen, I'm not very good at telling them apart. And I'm like, I know them, but I can't tell their voices apart when I listen to it.
We also have to have different, we speak differently.
I'm more nasally.
Much like Obama. Has a different cadence
than I don't know who this is, but
it's Brent.
Brent.
I think at the end of the day, our voices are different, but not different enough where people's brains can make
different,
a huge distinct.
But same.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Wait a second. For some reason, my calves hurt a lot today.
Your calves look
really
massive.
Like, they're really sore today.
Dude, your calves are so pronounced compared to your lower leg that your calves almost look like implants put into your legs because there's. How have you always had such great calves? Because you don't even work your legs out, but your calves are fucking like.
I want to know if
where are mine? Where are mine? Look at mine. Can you even see mine? Compare them to yours.
I feel like my calves are like this because I masturbate so much. And, you know, you're straining.
Oh, that's got to be it.
I'm like, argh!
Are you a leg stretcher?
Oh, yeah.
I've had this conversation. This is a very untalked about topic between men. But there's two groups of guys. There's guys that jerk off and guys that jerk off and have to stretch their legs really hard to jerk off. Like, you got to like.
Well, I don't have to. I'm just like if I want to get to the
conclusion fast.
Conclusion fast.
Why is that?
Blood.
Because that's like a real thing that like everyone I talk to, you know, when I meet up a new business client, first thing I bring up is I'm like, so when you masturbate, do you flex your leg muscles? Does it help you reach orgasm faster? Yeah. Why is that though? Scientists in the comments, Wikipedia scientists, let's go ahead and let's see that. Also, guys, you can go ahead and stop trying to edit the Wikipedia page for G-Score by Ryan Starr because they locked that one.
Oh, did they lock it?
They locked it.
They had to lock it.
Because people decided, like, this is a war now. And some Wikipedia moderator was like,
it is a
time
war
for this shit.
You bought that Star Fair
and
Square.
Yeah, I know. I know. I did buy that Star Fair and Square. And I'm pissed off. I'm real fucking pissed off. Yeah. There was a point where it was on Wikipedia for a while as Ryan McGee.
It was nice.
It was. I have a screenshot of it. It's on our Twitter if you want to go check that out. But No, it's right back to just being Fuyue and G Score Pi. And by the way, I have not received my goddamn certificate yet. Still.
Because it's a scam.
I paid $100 for the certificate. I paid, it's supposed to be framed, comes to my address. No.
Matt.
At this point, I don't give a fuck.
You have a check mark for a reason. Why don't you use it for a change?
Blast them on Twitter. I'll do it right now. You know what? I'm gonna finally do it. I'm gonna use my Twitter to blast a corporation.
I remember one time I blasted Ruby Tuesdays because my dad and I were going out to have like I can't remember if it was a Father's Day or a birthday of something. It was something special, and my dad wanted to go to Ruby Tuesdays, and you know I can do Ruby Tuesdays. I can eat at that salad bar all day. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but we got there and we like. Waited for about 10 minutes, drinks or nobody came, and we like flagged someone down. We're like, hey, can we get a drinks and whatever? They're like, oh yeah, let me go get someone. No one came again. We flagged someone down again. We're like, hey, no one's come gotten us. It's been like quite a bit of time. It feels like probably around 20, 25 minutes or so. And then they're like, oh yes, sorry, we'll be right there. What do you want? And they took our drink orders down and then never came back again. And so my dad and I just left and went to Chili's. And might I say, Chili's is way better than Ruby Tuesdays.
You know, sorry. You know who worked at Ruby Tuesday?
No.
Bill.
Did he?
Kill Bill the Rapper, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Worked at Ruby Tuesdays for years. So how you been?
All right.
Yeah.
How's that Freddie Dredd music video coming along?
It's finally coming out.
We had to
wait for RCA to, we filmed it like.
Wait, are you starting a beef with RCA?
No. We had to wait for the
labels in the world.
No, not at all. It just the process takes a long time because you know because
I remember you were telling me earlier of how RCA were just little bitches.
No. I didn't say anything like that. The thing is, it's a long process to get samples cleared because
they're weak minded fools who don't understand business.
I don't think I said that.
He didn't.
I don't think I said.
There's a part of you I know that's legitimately like.
It's a little part of me that's like, oh no, the wrong person from RCA hears this. No, because I've been having to do phone calls to RCA, and because basically a long time. So if some of you guys know, I have that other thing, Lazy Eye, where I do music videos with the Tucker Bros, and we did one for Freddie Dredd, and then we have another one we shot on like a red dragon. And we rented a warehouse and police cars and shit. And it's a good video, but we haven't been able to release it because Freddie, when he makes music, only like uses samples for his beats.
Mm.
And RCA is like, okay, well, whenever you make a song, you know, we have to go through the whole process. Like, you can't just release it. We have to go through the process of contacting the person that made the original sample and getting it cleared and, you know, like clearing that sample. So like when artists sample something, like, you know, if you have a record deal, you have to actually get permission. I mean, you have to get permission regardless, but mm-hmm. like, so it took like half a year.
Is there like a thing in the music industry about people using samples versus producing their own stuff or whatever? Or does
no,
it matter?
I don't think so. I don't think people see sampling as like a,
cause like there's sometimes where I'll hear like a sample or whatever. And I'm like, oh, it's linked to this song. And then someone else is like, no, it's this song. And I'm like, oh shit, it's used on like many different
songs. A lot of samples are used in many songs. Like yeah. You can actually, there's a
but
website.
Can you lay claim
you.
To a sample?
No. The only person that can own a sample is the person that made it.
So someone could make technically a Freddie Dredd song, right? Or whatever. Use like the same beat.
Yeah. So like, you mean like someone else can make a beat using the same sample?
And yeah.
Yeah. As long as they got permission from the person that owns the sample. So like.
Wait, if I took one of the samples that Freddie used and just like kind of started the song with it, would people at first think that I was Freddie? And then I can go in and just kind of be like.
Just kidding.
What's up? What's up, bitches? Freddie Dredd is back. They'll be like, God, he fell off.
Do the exact same sample. Copy the beat. Like, yeah, I'm sure you probably could. You probably have RCA barking at you. But the thing is.
It's worth the laugh.
We finally had to ditch a sample because the whole problem was just in the intro of Freddie's popular TikTok song, GTG, was the intro sample. And we ditched it and had Frank Javc recreate it, do like a brand new one, which I like a lot more. So
when you fuck bitches, their vagina gets stitches because I spread it out the ass with my big dick. Freddie gonna get some head. Freddie gonna give some head. Freddie play video games. Freddie masturbate. Freddie sleep. Freddie wake up. Freddie have Rice Krispies.
Fenty. This is his daily routine. That is so like not far off from Freddie Dredd's daily routine. I'm telling you right now, as someone who has witnessed his daily routine from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed, absolutely that is his daily routine.
Didn't you tell me that like you're like Ryan? You thought I was unhealthy. Yeah. Freddie is another story.
That fucking like Freddie would wake up at, like 2 p.m. Like, why? Well, I mean, you and I do the same thing. We woke up at 4 today.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll wake up late. The difference is I don't go to the fridge and crack a beer before I drink some coffee. Sometimes I'll do that, but on most days, no. And then Freddie is an unhealthy – I love him. He's an unhealthy little boy, and I want his health to be a priority to himself. And if it's not, we're going to have to get Queer Eye Guys out to Toronto to go to Freddie Dredd's luxury apartment where he has 5 arcade machines in his living room.
Have I ever told you I have this like weird, this weird kind of thing? I don't know what it is, but whenever I watch the show or whenever it's kind of like popularized, I get kind of nervous because in my head I'm like, I know I'm the type of person for someone to like be like, hey, can you fix this dude up? He dresses like shit. He's dirty. He needs to learn how to cook himself some meals. Like I always get nervous. I'm like, are the gays going to show up at my house?
The gays are here.
Oh, sorry. The Fab Five.
I
wish they were just called the gays.
The Gay Five.
The Gay Five.
Dude, it's really funny you bring that up because last time I was watching Queer Eye, I just remember I was like, ah, man, what if we got Ryan on this? Like, what if we legitimately called them on Ryan? Like, would they do it? I'm sure they would.
I don't know. They're doing Brooklyn next, right? That's their next thing.
Are you ever nervous?
Huh?
Have you ever been legitimately nervous that like someone's going to secretly call the Gay Five on you?
Yeah,
like
but the thing is, they would contact me. They don't just show up as a surprise like they do or like whatever. They set it up and everything, of course, with the producers. But like I've always been like, I am the prime candidate.
You really
for this
are.
Show.
You really are because what I see is I see a man. It's a blank canvas with a lot of potential for.
But I look at their shit and like every episode, I'm like, what they're saying is getting through to these people. And I'm just like, what? I don't get how they get through to people because I guess maybe my self-confidence is lower than anybody that's been on the show before.
I doubt that.
But like they do seem to not fix them, but they're like, they take them out to go get clothes and like, see, don't you think you look good? And the people are like, yeah, I do look good. But I don't think they could do that for me. I think I'd still see my tits and my stomach, and I'd be like,
I think a lot of people just need.
No, I don't like this. Can I get my black t-shirts back?
A lot of people need affirmation. I think a lot of people just need a little kick in the pants or some affirmation.
I get an affirmation. I have good friends like you and Justin.
Well, then maybe you're the type of person where affirmation doesn't have to come from outside. It has to come from within.
Yeah.
Which is hard. It's the hardest type of affirmation.
I see the comments are like, fuck, Ryan doesn't believe that he's attractive or that he's not fat and all this shit. And I'm like, well, if one, because you're fans and it's hard to like, I mean, not to say that I don't trust the fans, but the thing is.
It is hard like believing, like not it's not like, oh, viewers are liars. But it's like when you have a lot of people, I guess, looking up and like admiring, it's harder to.
It seems
to
like
take that at face value.
Yeah.
You know, but just because it's like it becomes numb. You become numb to it.
But I weighed myself this morning. I think I'm 194.
Ooh, you lost 6 pounds since last time I checked.
Really? Was I 200 last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or right below 200.
I said, like, yeah, I was right below 200.
Fuck yeah, dude. Congrats.
The thing is, I've been stuck at 194 for, let me see. You know how sometimes you hit a plateau when you're losing weight? Or I guess you wouldn't know.
Well, you're only like about 50 pounds more than me now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Think of it in that way.
But I still have so much extra fucking fat and shit, dude.
You think you
Well,
do.
You're also taller.
Yeah, height definitely.
What, no, I don't think it. Like, when I can physically grab it, I can hold it. This isn't just like a body dysmorphia
Look,
issue.
I can do the same
no,
thing
No, you
with
can
my
do the
stomach.
Same, but you're like, but look at this. This is legitimately excess. Look at this jiggle.
Right, you're turning me on a little bit with that. Stop.
Look
stop
at this
it.
Shit.
Stop. Stop.
Can,
stop. You're
can,
turning me on,
I
dude.
Can press my titties.
I
may
want to put my dick between
I
those tits.
I can create cleavage. I have dude. I can create mid cleavage with the mid fat I have. Don't come to me telling me I don't. I think I don't know what I look like. I think I have a clear view of what I look like, and I think it's disgusting.
You're always gonna have a little bit of something to grab because even myself at 140 pounds,
I got my tiger stripes on my side.
Yeah, get some coconut oil.
Will they go away?
Yeah, if you you got
they look
scar
pretty
massages.
Purple and pretty deep.
You can
I'm
get
such
rid of those
fat
you can get
man.
Rid of stretch marks. You got to use coconut oil. And
yeah,
stuff.
I know I'm not morbidly obese, but to me, whenever I look in the mirror, it's always the same shape. It's just pear.
You're your
I just
own worst
see
critic,
a,
dude.
I see a pear.
I hate when I look in the mirror when I like, especially when I have my shirt off, like when
or
I'm
or a teepee. Like whenever I wear shirts, I feel like I have teepee or a pear.
When I get into the shower,
or
I look
a pear
in the
wearing a teepee costume.
Okay, yeah, a pear dressed as
that's
a
what I feel
sack
like.
Of jouet. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I get into the shower and I look in the mirror and I have my shirt off, I'm like, oh, I get horribly self conscious because I don't have any pectoral muscles and I'm skinny. I can see my ribs, and I just
yeah,
got
but
weird
that looks
proportions.
Kind of like that looks kind of like the base, right? That's like you. I think there's a difference between like, yes, you can have pecs, but I'd rather have no pecs than tits like I have now.
They're not tits, dude.
Dude, you can get a good.
Ryan, I've known people that have tits before.
Dude, I promise you I have more to grab than some women that watch our show.
The problem is you just the only people you see in real life are incredibly skinny, tall men.
You well, so also like, well, like think about like all of my friends that I talk to on a regular.
All basis. Your friends are skinny,
you,
tall dudes.
Jackson, Harrison, Carson, Justin.
Justin's a lot like me in terms of like how skinny he is.
Yeah,
Justin might even be skinnier than me. I don't know. I think Justin might be a little skinnier than me. I've been gaining weight during quarantine, but it's from alcohol.
But he's also shorter.
Yeah, he's a short king. Just kidding. He's a tall king. Justin stands above them all. He won't listen to this.
No, he won't.
We can say anything we want about Justin on the podcast because he won't listen to the podcast because he doesn't edit the podcast.
Exactly. We can discuss whatever we want.
We can.
But like when you go out for the day, let me put it this way, Matt. It's so bad that even when coming to the office to see my friend, I will go through 5 different shirts and look in the mirror or like see how it feels. Just because like I wear big black shirts because I don't like the feeling of it tightening and then seeing this shit. So like I remember back in high school, I would put on like 5 different shirts to be like, am I comfortable in this? Yeah. No, I don't. Like I'd look and I don't know.
I do just, that sometimes.
It's always been
though.
A fucking thing. But I feel like when you do it, it's specifically like to see if your clothes match. Mine is to see if my body looks good in my clothes.
No, I do the same. No, it is like sometimes I'll put on a shirt and I'll be like, I don't like the way that feels on me. It like look fits me today. I don't like that. Dude, I just want to like once you feel more. You don't even have to feel more confident. Let's go ahead and get, like, I want to take you clothes shopping, bro.
It's the problem, though. Like, if I get those shirts that, like, are appropriate size and it hugs me a little bit, I'm going to feel self-conscious because I can just feel that constantly. Or, like, when I sit down, then I can see it more.
Well, why do you got to get clothes that are, like, tight? Baggy's in. It's 2020. Baggy is in. You can get baggy clothes, dude.
I love to get
baggy clothes. Baggy clothes are super. I've started wearing large t-shirts. This is a medium. But I've started wearing ones that are like, I started wearing large and extra large t-shirts because I can tuck them in and it's nice and baggy on me.
I'm only 20 pounds away. No, I'm.
What's your goal?
My goal is 175.
Okay, so you're really close.
20 pounds away.
Less than 20 pounds.
But part of me is wondering if I need to lose like more weight than that because this is a lot of jiggle.
No, dude, just don't even
think
about that.
You think all of this is just 20 pounds?
Easily. Don't even think about it that way. Don't think about like, oh, I need to lose more. Just goal by goal. Set it goal by goal, you know?
And dude, I'll do this. I'll look in the mirror.
My goal is 175, and that's what my goal is.
You can see what I'd be with a tight stomach.
Let me see.
Like, it'd lift that up.
Dude, you also like, but you do have the body type, though, where you could just get so jacked. You could be so, you could do it now. Like,
yeah.
You could kick my ass now, but if you got like, you
I
have
just
the
have
body
a,
type to just be one of those like incredibly ripped built dudes that
I have
just kill me.
Natural mass. I have natural heavy upper build. Not
yeah.
In terms of I'm not like, oh, I'm heavy muscular, but I'm a very husky.
Dude, you look like
build.
Thanos if you got ripped.
Ooh.
You'd like
Josh Brolin?
Yeah, you look like Josh Brolin.
Do you think I could pull off that Ryan Reynolds look? Maybe
yes.
The Hugh Jackman look?
Yeah, dude. Oh,
I'd love for one.
You'd be
day,
a
dude.
Huge jacked man.
I wouldn't ever want to be jacked like that, but I would like to be able to go out in public. And look through, like, look at the shop windows and see my reflection and not want to, like, fucking look away and be like, damn, okay, I look good today. Because I never, like, I always feel like I look good when the only mirror is like the rear view mirror. I'll look up and I'll be like, I'm wearing sunglasses and my hair looks decent today. But anything below that, I'm like, yo.
I said this probably 200 times on the podcast that I don't get how you don't like your hair because I'm so jealous of it.
I like my hair. But it's I think it's a little too poofy. Because remember whenever I would wear it down, like I think when I look at myself when I had long hair and whenever I had it down, I think it looks bad.
Have you seen Max's old hair?
I think it looked bad. Max looks great with long hair.
You guys have the same type of hair. You guys have the same type of thick hair.
Yeah, but he also has a different head shape and a different like face. Like his
face. Yeah, but you have a great head shape for fucking doing it. You can do
anything. My head shape is like a planter's peanut.
No, it's not. What?
It's like this. I don't know what it is. It's like a bean.
You have a very symmetrical head, like a very nicely shaped head. I have a weird ass shaped head. You see from the side, it's like chin that kind of is like weird. And then I got this like. It's big up top and then...
But I always felt like you have like a very nice, unique look. Not in like a... Oh, not in an... I'm trying to call you ugly in a nice way.
Oh, thank you. That's
but
very
like,
sweet.
But like you stand out.
Oh, thank you.
But I feel like I, in a crowd, can be lost quite
but
easy.
But I think everyone
I'm just
thinks
another
that
kind of,
about themselves.
Well, I'm another white dude with a beard, you know?
Ryan, you're Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Come on, don't. You're Middle Eastern
and Asian, apparently. You know, I'm somewhat Asian.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone wants to, you know, call us out for being racist towards Middle Easterners, Asians.
Well, your mom is also from Africa.
Or Africa.
Technically.
Yeah, but that's geographical. That has nothing to
still,
do with
it. Still, your roots are in Africa. So I don't see.
Well, Northern Africa is the Middle East, essentially.
Still Africa. Okay. Technically, geographically, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say,
she
man.
Was born in Africa. She was born in Northern Africa.
Weren't we all born in Africa?
No. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina.
No, Ryan, weren't we all
no, I know what you're saying.
Born in Africa? Humanity comes from Africa.
Yes.
We originated in Africa.
Yeah.
I am an African.
Asians are, oddly enough, given the funny haha stereotypes of each given race or whatever, but Asians are what aren't they like closer to Africans than
think,
other races are or something
I,
like that?
I remember reading something that like I think like in terms of evolutionary like charts, I think Asian people are more closely related to African people than like for instance white people
yeah.
are and stuff. Which I guess that makes sense geographically because Africa's closer to Asia than, you know, North America is or something.
Could you imagine what, or I don't know, we see humans and there's all different types of humans, just like there are all different types of dogs. But the difference being like, I'm wondering if there was a alien species that started the kind of once we kind of became humans out of during the evolutionary track, because you know there is that
noticeably different enough from like
yeah.
primates and like monkeys,
but like if there was a superior alien race and they started kind of like breeding us with different shit, like what would that look like? Because you know how dogs, there's pugs and Great Danes and all that shit.
Oh,
what is
yeah.
that with humans? Or is that simply just like mixed race people?
Well, you know what's funny? What's funny is I guess technically like it doesn't exist on Earth, but I guess technically there could be other races of humans that don't exist mm-hmm. today, but like if the Earth had developed differently and different, like I guess technically there could be different races in an alternate universe that could exist that wouldn't be black, white, Asian, anything like that. Like it would be something completely different and look completely different from anything we have today.
And we're getting to the abusive side of the argument, but like we made so many different looking types of dogs. Like if we, could we have done that with deers? Like could there be short miniature fat ass deer?
I guess technically, yeah. I guess any species, if you were to domesticate it or just breed
and
it enough,
breed
could,
them
yeah.
with the unfortunates of its herd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess technically. So, because, you know, like cats and dogs, for instance, you know, they all share a common ancestor. But now if you look at them today, there's so many.
There's like definitely different types of cats. But when you look at the realm of like the spectrum of different types of dogs versus cats, you know, cats generally all look the same. You know, they still, you know, some will have like what is it called? What's the pouty cat looking face called?
Well, you're thinking of a domesticated cats. Think about like outside of that, like lions,
true.
Tigers,
yeah.
ocelots, stuff like that. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. but
well, what are we? Our foxes are in the canine family. Mm-hmm. Are they in their own little
thing? Isn't that weird? They're not. They're in their own thing, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Let me double check that. Because I always thought foxes were like, I was like, oh, foxes are
they come across
dogs,
as like a
like
canine.
They're canines, but
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Fox.
Coyotes are canines.
Yeah, coyotes.
Coyotes
pretty much
are canines.
Are just
dogs. Wolves are canines. There's wild dogs. There's wild hogs.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
Dude, growing up in South Carolina, like, people would always be like, hey, be careful about going around the woods. You don't want to run into a wild boar. And whenever I went to the woods, I was super afraid of running into a wild boar. You could hear them sometimes.
Okay, never mind. Foxes are related to dogs.
Okay.
They're part of the Canidae family. But dude, have you ever seen a wild boar? Like, in the woods?
No.
Oh,
it would scare me.
It's cool.
Aren't they mean?
I don't know. I mean, they're wild animals, so I guess all wild animals can be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. I've seen them before. I've seen them when kayaking in – my dad took me kayaking in some really rural part of – I hate that word. Rural. Rural part of South Carolina, very far away from, like, any main towns. And we were going through the woods, and there was a little island, and on the coast were a bunch of wild boars. They're just, like, brown wild pigs with big
horns.
In Lake
Murray, they have an island like that, except it's for goats.
Yeah, and they were all going and running around.
See, I've heard them before. Like, in the woods, like, I've heard the, like, out in the distance, or, like, the squeal that's really loud. But I've never seen them in the wild.
It's crazy how, like, I guess where we grew up, like, I guess wild pigs, technically just not pigs, but close enough, ran around.
Aren't they known to gore people?
I don't know. They can get huge. They can get massive.
But aren't they dangerous? Like, they'll gore people.
I'd imagine because they have horns, and also they're a wild animal, and wild
tusks.
Animals are gonna. Yeah, they have tusks, and wild animals are gonna, you know, like,
because they curve like that, and they
react.
Just and it gets in here.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, same with bulls and shit. Like,
yeah.
those people that
they'll
do like the bull marathons, like running from the bull and then get like
all it
mauled,
takes is
like,
the bullhorn to go.
Yeah,
dead.
Like, what do you
fuck
expect?
That. I'm not doing that shit.
What do you expect? Like,
file the horns down.
I don't understand.
My favorite tradition is when they have a big funny flag and wear a big funny hat and then slowly kill a bull by poking holes in it.
While it's in the most stress of its life, it's like, why am I in this much stress?
Yeah, they like.
Of course, it's gonna fucking charge at people and attack it.
Well,
you're
don't they give it like
it.
A bunch of like testosterone shit too, or they like fuck with it before to get it angry?
I think they rile it up though. They, you know, fuck with it. I hate bullfighting. Like bullfighting and shit like that. It's just cruel.
I'm all down for bull riding.
Bull riding, hell yeah! But bullfighting, it's like. Let's this, you know, this animal that's just a regular innocent animal, let's fucking abuse it and piss it off and then kill it.
It's also not our culture, so it's not important to us. So
that's true.
To us, it's culturally not important. So, you know,
it's just bizarre to me. Poor
the running
bulls.
Of the bull.
Running the bull.
I wouldn't want to do that because I'd be more afraid of being trampled by a crowd than being trampled by the one bull behind the crowd.
I have this weird part of me that would love to do running to the bull. Like, I've always kind of had
I don't
this,
trust people. I trust that bull
either.
More than I trust people.
I feel like it'd be very exhilarating to do that. But also, I've seen there's a subreddit called r/thebullwins, and it's exactly what you think it is. And It's after seeing enough.
It's it, I can't watch those sometimes.
I'm like, oh fuck! Okay, I don't want to. I never want to fuck with a bull.
There was one where the horn like went into like the guy's like chin, and it like kind of drug him a little bit.
I think it did that kill him?
I think
a lot of people die from bulls.
I don't know, but there's an injury like that in a hot. Have you seen? We watched Hot Fuzz, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the dude with the spike.
Yeah, on the model of the church.
I remember speaking of like wild animals where we grew up. I remember bobcats. Have the most terrifying sounding like cries. And I was camping with my old man, and I was in the tent. It was the middle of the night and middle of nowhere in South Carolina. My dad wakes me up. He's like, Matt, listen. And probably about 20 feet from our tent is a bobcat that's doing like a cry to another one. And it's like, and it's just this horrifying sound.
Bobcats are horrifying. And also coyotes are scary. I think any wild animal doing its wild animal noises can sound freaky. It can sound like a baby being thrown off a roof. It can sound like, honestly, this one time I thought someone was being abused around the area that I was like listening to, but it turned out I think it was just like a cat or something.
Oh, cats, when cats are in
it sounded like a woman scream.
No, and cats when they're having territory fights will make sounds that I'm like, you don't even know like a cat could make. Listen, this is a bobcat scream in the woods, middle of the night, I'm trying to sleep.
Oh, you recorded it?
No, it's on YouTube.
Oh,
wait.
That's like a sonar, like a that's
dude,
horrifying.
Isn't that fucking terrifying?
Dude, imagine the sun going down, like it's almost dark and you're kind of just walking in the woods and all of a sudden you just hear that and you're like about a mile away from like base camp or whatever.
This. Yeah, so like that. So think about this. I'm young, I'm like 10, and I'm in the woods in the middle of the night away from civilization. You hear that echoing through the woods? Terrifying. Yeah. I remember just laying there, scared my mind, and there were two of them on opposite sides of the tent. So and they were doing it back and forth. So it's like the tent was like surrounded by that. And it was terrifying. And my dad was like, damn, son, this is cool. And I was like, no, it's not. This is fucking.
I'm not having a good time.
How do I know that's not a fucking cryptid that's going to come rip into the tent and pull my legs off?
Man, being a kid was cool because like the existence of creatures, like when I hear that sound, it's scary for a different reason because I can link it to a predator that I should 100% be afraid of. But when I was a kid, my mind would go and be like, that could be a creature, that could be a monster. I miss being able to believe in ghosts and monsters and shit as a kid because there's that type of fear about that specific thing that's so unique that you can't get back
because it's a fear
because you mature
unknown.
Out of it. Yeah. Or some people still believe in ghosts or whatever.
I don't think I've matured out of that. If I heard that, I'd still like there'd be a part of me that's like that's
no. What I'm
creature.
Saying is it's for a different reason. Like if you
no, I like if I heard it, if I heard that sound in the woods today, there's still a part of me that would think it's like not an animal.
Well, now you know what the sound is, right?
Yeah, but I would still my brain would get freaked out and I'd be like. Like I've read enough creepy shit on the internet. Like, what if this is that?
Yeah, it's just like at the end of the it's the same reason why there's some like videos on the internet where it's like top 10 creepiest ghost videos on the internet. Like they're eerie, but the same way a horror movie is creepy. Like it's creepy imagery, but I don't find it. I don't look at that and like I don't have trouble sleeping because I don't believe in like demons or ghosts or anything like that.
Yeah, I feel that. I've believed in that shit. Like I couldn't help it growing up. That shit just scared me. So then when I would be
when I was in religion, I believed in demons and all that shit. 100%.
Because my mom and dad would tell me they're
like,
real.
Like energy, positive and negative, right?
Yeah, no. And my mom and dad would tell me that demons are real because they're strong Christians. So then, if you have your parents telling you like, yeah, demons are real, it's like, oh shit. It's like, yeah, demons are real.
There's
fuck,
a demon in them.
Demons. But, yeah, fucking scary, man.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't not believe in ghosts, but I don't firmly believe in ghosts. Like, I feel like I think that it is possible, just as like an ant can't comprehend humans. I feel like, you know, an ant in its own right thinks it's the most advanced, like to an ant or an animal, like each creature, I guess, thinks it's like the high, like the most advanced species. I don't think animals think like, oh, there's species in terms of consciousness above me.
Yeah, but using that argument, right? Like, I mean, then ghosts wouldn't exist because what we comprehend as a ghost isn't at all what a ghost is, right?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I think that there could definitely be something higher than humans that exists on a plane that we are unable to understand, because just like an ant can't understand our thoughts or our
but
stuff.
But I'm talking in terms of evil spirits and like a woman dressed up as a maid floating in the hallway.
Oh yeah, like that shit. I don't know. I think if there are higher.
If there are higher beings, they're not dressed up as maids hovering around someone's
basement.
I don't
believe that. I think
they have better stuff to do.
I think it's possible that there could be higher forms of consciousness, like beyond humanity, that we can't comprehend, just because there's different dimensions. And then, you know, it's like we are not like we're supercomputers, we're super smart, but like in terms of the universe, I'm sure there's plenty of things that we can't comprehend because our brains don't function at that level.
Our brain's a lot more powerful than we give it credit for, because I'd link all of like the ghost shit to just someone's brain just kind of misfiring, or basically like your brain, you as a human will try to fill in gaps, right?
Yeah.
Like back in religion, there's the argument of, you know, the God of the gaps, where in everything you don't understand, you place God, and in everything we do understand, there's science. And it might still be a decent argument on the religious versus like the non-religious side. But I feel that if there were such thing as ghosts or spirits, it's not in the sense of it would just be maybe not even a being, because when we're talking about like there being something else outside of us, I really don't think even this is kind of in a way a weird way of saying it, but there's no way we could even comprehend like not just the complexity, but the
existence.
Yeah. Because to us, it would be like, oh, I wonder what those beings are thinking. It's like, well, we think of thinking as thinking, but
they don't, like,
you can't fucking,
because it's literally beyond human comprehension. Because what I think is, the idea of ghosts and spirits, I think is like the easiest way for, the human brain to comprehend like something beyond us. But I think that I think it's very plausible something beyond us exists on a different plane. And I'm not saying God, I'm not saying ghosts, but I think that it's possible that there is something else farther than humans on a different plane. And if I think that we can't even begin to imagine it, right? Like our brains don't even function that way.
Yeah.
And I think that it's totally possible, but we won't know, because it's like a snail trying to comprehend humanity.
And at some point it's like, you know, what's the point in going after, you know, understanding that?
Yeah.
Because there is no use in understanding something that's non-understandable.
I think that's the point. I think that that's why people think that, though, because I think it's the unknown is so, something like that is so fascinating, and curiosity fueled. Mm-hmm. You know, you want answers. Like everyone wants, the biggest questions in humanity are questions that are never actually able to be answered. Like, does God exist? What's the purpose of us being here? It's like, those are questions that, like, no matter what you do, no matter what, you know, you're able to discover, you can never prove or fully understand. You only come to what you personally find the meaning of, right? You can say like, oh, I know the meaning of life. That's the meaning of life to you. The actual meaning of life, no one will ever know. Does God exist?
Well, it's not that no one will ever know it. There is no meaning.
Yeah. And I guess,
not a purpose. There's not like a reason. We weren't like, you know, like you build a chair for a purpose.
Yeah.
We're not here for a purpose.
Well, I think that it's up to,
we create our own purpose.
I think everyone creates their own purpose and meaning of life. And I feel like, to give life meaning, like that for life to have a meaning, the meaning of life is whatever you make out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so the meaning of life, it varies person to person. And I don't think there's any right answer. Unless
it's the way, remember, I keep bringing this up. It's the way I look at people, right? Every person is their own fucking universe.
Yeah. Unless we are actually in a simulation, then there's a meaning to life. We were created in some kind of thing, but we'll never know that.
There's the possibility we're in a simulation, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, there's so much real emotion and connection here. It's like, is it really worth it to try to go down that rabbit hole and get all paranoid when you will never, like, you're never, like, do you think you're really going to be are you going to be Jim Carrey in The Truman Show? Are you going to be the one that figures out that they're in some sort of TV show? And also, I think it's just that linked in of not narcissism, but because that's a negative. But there's, you know how people always kind of, they have this I am greater. There's something greater than this.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to this, you know, all that. I feel like that gets a lot of people stuck in thinking that, you know, they were in the simulation and I got to figure it out and all this stuff. And it's, if we are in a simulation, it doesn't take away anything from what we are experiencing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand there's the desire to have questions answered. Like, that's just a desire that everyone has. You want questions answered.
I think that's more of a curiosity, right?
Yeah, But if you do discover that we're in a simulation, like, if we were to somehow discover that, it's like, honestly, what difference does it make? Because we're all helpless at the end of the day. It's not like we can escape the simulation. If we do live in a simulation, this is it for us.
Yeah.
And honestly, in a weird way, like, I think in that sense, ignorance is bliss. Because mm-hmm. it's like, I'd rather just keep living my life happy in the situation I am than have my eyes open to this reality where I'm going to live the rest of my life paranoid and nothing matters.
For me, it's interesting because, like, I'm not more paranoid by the fact. I'm more just kind of I'm never paranoid like, oh my God, are we in a simulation? It's fun to just ponder. It's like,
yeah, it's fun.
The probability, like, what is the probability we're in a simulation? If you look at, like, people like Elon Musk or others that talk about the subject, there's that whole argument, right? We've talked about it before, where one day humans will get to the point where we create a virtual reality experience that is almost real life. Like, you can't differentiate it really, right?
Yeah.
We will get to that point just because technology and all that other shit. But who's to say we're the first ones that have done that and this isn't just that, but done to the nth degree.
What if we're a simulation inside of us?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, the argument is, what is the possibility that out of all of the universe and out of everything, that we're the first, like, ones to do this kind of...
Like, we're the first simulation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's freaky, man. That's so crazy.
That we created the first simulation and that we're already not in a simulation of a simulation of a simulation, you know, all that other shit.
Because it's, we create simulations.
And that,
you know,
simulation will eventually become, you know, advanced enough to
think it's real.
To think it's real.
Because
and
in our
build
lifetime,
its own simulation.
In our
VR
lifetime, I think we'll be able to create computers that will be able to create a simulation where things inside of it can fully believe that they're real.
Yeah.
And that's so crazy. It sounds like we're on acid right now.
It's just fun thinking.
No, it's great thinking. And
I'm not like conspiracy theory.
No.
We're in a simulation.
I think
I'm just like, what if? You know, what are the chances?
And it's things like this, I think. It's why people like things like psychedelics, because I think psychedelics make you just think about different things that you normally wouldn't think about. Like, it doesn't make you like a fucking hippie, but I think that
when people say it expands your mind, it doesn't make you a better I don't think like it makes you like a better person or a better thinker or anything like that. I think what it does is it opens you up to just kind of like think about even stupid shit, like give credence to stuff and go down rabbit holes.
Yeah. Like, you kind of like, you're, I guess we've never talked about psychedelics on our podcast.
Have we not?
Mm-mm.
I thought we've mentioned that we've done it before.
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay.
I think in a Let's Play, we mentioned it briefly a long time ago, but like, I think what's cool about psychedelics is it's a short period of time where like your brain would normally compute in A to B to C, but then all of a sudden now you do, it's like A to N to X mm-hmm. to B to C. It's like, I guess that's a good way to describe it, is you just think differently for a short period of time and you're able to understand and comprehend things that you normally, I guess your sober normal brain wouldn't be able to really like.
Not in the high way where.
Yeah, you're not like, it's not like, oh, I'm so
where you're
high.
Coming up with funny ideas. I mean, you are, but it's more of, so you're, like, for instance, when you're anxious, you can become tunnel vision.
Yeah, if you can't think outside of it.
If you're on a psychedelic, there was a moment, if you remember, I think one of my friends came to visit and I dropped acid.
Yeah.
And I came to several just kind of conclusions. And afterwards, you even commented, you were like, you said something that really clicked. And you even stated that, like, I kind of wasn't affected as much by what I was having a problem with.
Yeah, because that day I had never tried psychedelics at that point, and mm-hmm. Ryan did it with a friend and I babysat. And I remember that day you were talking to me about a bunch of anxieties that I knew you had in the past, and you were just like coming to these conclusions about them all on your own that I remember just hearing fully sober. And I was like, dude, that makes so much sense. And then the thing that I like about it is whenever I do, for instance, acid, afterwards, the realizations that I have while I'm on acid, while I'm tripping, like the kind of points I'm able to come to, the conclusions that I'm able to come to stay with me afterwards. So when I come back to quote unquote reality, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. So I kind of went through this journey in my head about this problem I'm having, or just this basic concept of life I've never really thought about. And now moving forward, I have this new idea of this, or this new grasp on a certain concept, like a really basic concept, that I normally wouldn't have ever even thought about if I hadn't tried a psychedelic.
I've kind of stayed away from psychedelics recently just because it's going to sound weird. I don't want to face certain things.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about psychedelics is like...
Because I know when you're on a psychedelic, I've never had a bad trip.
I haven't either.
Because within a trip for me, there are bad aspects sometimes. Like if you go into an environment, it can get sometimes creepy and it can start to feel overwhelming and weird.
Or just kind of like bring a weird sensation to you that you can't explain, but it's like, oh,
but the moment you go
deep in my brain.
It's weird because the moment you go into another room, you and I have explained it when we were talking about it goes in kind of like the next season.
Yeah, next right? episode.
Season one feels different than season two, or like one room feels differently than the other. Because I remember going into a room with all the windows shut, then going outside, then coming back where the windows were open, and each room, whether it's the walls and everything, felt different.
It's like visiting a new web page.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say everyone go do acid.
No,
now.
No, yeah, like I don't want to say it.
These are our experiences.
We're not. We in no way are we condoning like the use of illegal drugs. We're talking about our experiences, though. I've never done shrooms. I've done LSD.
See, I'd say for me, I started the first psychedelic I did was shrooms.
Most people do,
and I think I would always go the shroom route.
I've just never had shrooms,
and I'm too nervous about acid after doing a lot more research and stuff. I kind of don't want to. I don't want to chance those side effects because even you have had some side effects. I don't know if you want to talk about it.
No, I mean, you and I have, we've done acid together.
Mm-hmm. Over a year.
It's been about 2 years.
2 years.
It's been about 2 years actually this month.
Yeah.
I think it was like May 2018.
Because I'm not going to, you know, tattletale on people that don't want to be talked about, but we did it with certain people. I think that was April of 2 years ago.
Aaron.
It wasn't
Aaron. I don't think Aaron would ever do acid.
I don't think we didn't do it with other people. We had other people babysit, but I don't know if they want to be included in
this. Yeah, no. I'm not scared talking about stuff like acid because like there are drugs that are really, really bad for you, like heroin and cocaine and stuff. But I feel like stuff like acid can definitely be bad for you. I think you need to, if you are going to ever do a psychedelic drug, do your research. Don't just have a friend that has it and be like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Like, do your research.
That's what I did the first two times.
Yeah, I did.
But one friend I did trust. The first friend, okay, the reason I did psychedelics the first time, it was right after Daniel passed away.
Yeah.
And there was just a friend that offered shrooms. And I was like, fuck it, why not? And honestly, it's going to sound weird. It was very therapeutic.
That's why I like psychedelics. So it's like therapy. I love psychedelics because they are therapeutic. Every time I've done it, I have never had a bad experience. And every time I've done it, I have been able to have some massive epiphany about something in my life where then when I come back to reality, I'm like, wow, I feel so much better.
You know those moments, right? And maybe it's only because I'm from a small town that I get this way. But you know, like, when you see mountains, like, remember when you saw mountains for the first time when you were a kid, that like kind of like butterfly feeling, that awe, or like when you see just something so fantastic, like something you don't see all the time. You see a whale breach the ocean, or you see these magnificent things. Imagine that feeling intensified, and it continues to go on. It's this, I feel like psychedelics, there's this constant undertone of wonder that I feel throughout the experience.
Because I don't want to sound like a hippie, but in a way it does expand your mind. And it expands your mind in the sense of, oh, whoa, it expands your mind.
Yeah.
But it does in the sense of like people say that because in terms of like you are your own universe, you experience everything you experience is what you
is
know,
from your
see,
perspective
yeah.
and everyone else
it
has
expands
a different
your perspective and you see things differently during that. So in a way it does. That's why people say like, oh, your third eye is opened or mm-hmm. something, because it's like all of a sudden you're seeing more about reality than you did. You see all these new colors and new feelings and new thoughts. And if anyone is going to try a psychedelic, test it. Like, there's kits you can get online to test it, because psychedelics can, believe it or not, really fuck up your brain.
This isn't like go try them and then test it. This is if you are going to do it. If we can't, like, if there's no one's going to talk you out of it.
It's like teaching
at
abstinence.
At least test it.
Yeah, because it's like teaching abstinence. Because, you know, parents and people, they try to teach abstinence, but the reality is they're never going to be able to stop young people from having sex. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's smarter to instead teach how to have safe sex and be safe about it than tell people not to have sex. It's like, we can tell people don't go try psychedelic drugs, but at the same time, it's like, you can't stop people from doing that. So it's better, if people are going to do it anyway, tell them how to do it safely.
Yeah.
Do your research. Don't do it from a stranger. Don't do
babysit. I honestly think babysitters are important.
Yeah. The first few times, at least, like, you need someone mm-hmm. to watch over you, because your brain's in a different state and you need someone that's thinking.
Someone you
correctly.
Can trust.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Do it in a comfortable environment. You want to be, most important thing is you want to be comfortable, because otherwise you're going to have a bad time.
And the friend can't use that trip to their benefit of entertainment, or else if it's your first trip, that could give you a bad trip, because they'll be fucking with you. And if someone's fucking with you and you're on acid, it can make. I don't want to name a certain name. There's one name of someone who kept doing something, and we specifically were like, stop.
They were making faces at us.
We were like, seriously, like, stop.
That's freaking me out.
Like, weird faces. Oh, dude. The last time, which was 2 years ago, I guess, the last time I was on acid, I experienced the scariest and most kind of like neck. It just gave me the shivers. Got really close to a mirror and just stared at it.
Oh my God, dude. It's like, you know, in the Simpsons movie when Krusty's like now we have HD cameras and you see the up close of his face and it's like disgusting, hyper realistic. When you're on psychedelics and you look in the mirror, it's terrifying. It's whoa.
Your brain does do things. And also it helps with, that it's on acid, where basically my thought process was, I just looked at myself and I made it so my periphery was kind of like blocked. So I was just looking at myself and I was like, this is how people see me when people are talking to me. This is what they see. And, you know, when you're just looking at a mirror, that's very obvious. But like it was kind of like a holy shit. But then the weird part was that my reflection started to do this. I'll do it to Matt.
Yeah, everything moves
like,
a little bit.
Like my head was starting to tilt down, and I was starting to like give this evil smile, and I'm like looking at my reflection, I'm like, what? Like, it was weird.
Yeah, no, it messes with your brain. That's the thing, is like, they're not to be taken lightly. Like, psychedelics literally fuck up your brain for a short period of time.
Yeah.
So like, don't mess around with them if you don't feel like you're not ready, because you need to be in a good mental place and you need to like,
don't do it because of peer pressure.
Know what you're doing.
It's not the type of
thing. That's how you have a bad trip.
Yeah.
And also, I think something that has been different for me ever since I tried psychedelics was what they call like ego death, where it's the first time in your life you fully understand like what you are mm-hmm. in a way where like your ego fully. It's the first time like you're able to like break free from your ego.
That's and, very
like,
humble of you.
Yeah, yeah. So I have that. No. It's a real thing that's been like studied. It's called ego death, where it's like on psychedelics, you're able to break free from your ego and like actually be like, oh shit, like kind of
part of that we were talking
about. You're always different.
We were talking about problem solving. It's a lot of the problems that you have, your ego can get in the way, like whether it's kind of your unwillingness to back down on something that someone else wants to go forward with or whatever. The ego death thing is true because you start to look at it very just kind of matter of fact when you're on psychedelics.
Yeah.
I feel.
You're able to kind of separate yourself from a. You think about yourself differently, I guess is the best way, but you just, you're different. I think the biggest takeaways I've had from my experience with psychedelics is like, I think that it ultimately made me more of a nihilist, but in the sense of like, I would describe it as like positive nihilism, not like, oh, nothing matters, but it's more like, I kind of realized that like, I guess things don't really matter that much, or they don't matter as much as my whole life I've thought they do. But that's okay.
They matter to you, but
they matter to me,
but not in the grand scheme.
But they only
like there's no master plan grand scheme type.
And understanding that's made me realize like I guess things don't really, of course things matter, but it's like I guess ultimately things don't really matter. But that has made me a happier person because I'm like I can just kind of relax and not be so worried because things don't matter. It's not like oh nothing matters. Ooh, like that type. It's more of like a positive form of nihilism.
Yeah, like you know? I've never had. like a depressive nihil. Like whenever not like I think in a nihilistic way, it's never because of whether it's my depression or anxiety or something.
Yeah, I've never
it's just
been
kind of like a general layout of how I see things. It's just kind of like, oh, this is how things are. Things, as we were talking about in the beginning, and this is something important. That's a very, it's a very basic idea that I think a lot of people need to start thinking about. It's just that you know, things just don't matter. Things don't just exist and they all of a sudden matter because they're, because God says that, you're this lovely person matters to you now. And he's like, okay.
If you didn't exist, nothing would exist because you would not exist to comprehend it. So it doesn't exist.
Just remember that it's you subjective. Are the one that gives credence to the positivity and negativity in your life. And if you are, if you are blocked off by some mental health issues, there are ways like therapy and certain medications that you can look into to
help with it. Smoking a lot of weed.
Yeah. Because I feel like nihilism, because we say this, nihilism as a view is good and everything, but it's not helpful, right? Because there does need to be, things do need to matter for society.
I think nihilism can lead to apathy.
Yeah. And that's where it's
kind of like, where then it's just like, that feels very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a really cool form of nihilism that's based around like
nihilism can be therapeutic because you can go, oh, okay, this isn't as big as I'm making it out to be. You know, you can kind of talk yourself down using nihilism.
Yeah.
But you can also kind of, that nihilism can build and it can lead you to just kind of, I don't know. Usually you can tell when someone's gone too far with it, when they complain about kind of like every medium or every game sucks or every movie sucks now, or like everything sucks now, everything's bad, everything.
I cannot stand people that have the worldview where just everything sucks. It's like, I don't want to hear you complain
all the
time. I'm the
only one that notices everything's bad.
I don't want to hear someone complain all the time.
I know.
It's exhausting. For people that complain all the time, other people around you find it exhausting. That is a common thing.
But
it is exhausting.
When you're in a group, because you and I have been in this, and we're still in this to some degree, you know, because you just have those friends and you get in those conversations where it's addictive.
When you talk
negativity with people, like gossip, there is, I don't want to say there's a dopamine rush, but there is something going on. I feel
it
like
makes you feel better,
brain.
And it brings you all together because you're all able to come together against something.
We're better than this thing.
Yes,
you know.
And I think that everybody does that to a degree, but I think it's important at some point in your life to realize the ratio of that in your life. And it does. The more that you are in that, the more that you will feel more general negativity in your life. And I think
because nothing pleases you.
Yeah, exactly. Because you kind of just grind yourself down. So I guess like the last thing I'll say about psychedelics is I will reiterate, we are not pushing for people to use them. We're not condoning them. We're just saying
explaining our experiences.
And
if you're going to
be safe, do a lot of research. Make sure like if you're on medications, that's not going to fuck with anything. You know, make sure like you get things tested, like just be safe.
Or, you know, the safe thing is if you're getting anxious, you're like, oh, what if my medication, then just don't do it. Don't go through with it.
Yeah. You have your whole life to do stuff. Don't rush things. Don't worry about things. And only do something that you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. If you're too nervous, don't do it. Don't force yourself to do it.
Just like if you can be nervous about trying weed for the first time. Like I remember the first time I can't remember if I talked about it on the podcast, but Daniel created the best first weed experience for me. And I'm so glad I had that experience because basically he just like called one of his friends up and his dad was okay with smoking. He kind of lived this guy kind of lived out in the woods almost. And they set up a bonfire and we just all just smoked weed around this bonfire looking up at the night sky. And then all of a sudden one of my friends took me to McDonald's and we brought it back and we were eating McDonald's around a bonfire looking up at the stars high.
Beautiful.
It was a great first experience. And I could not imagine that experience if like I was nervous at a party alone and someone was like, here, try this. And I got high. You know what I mean? I'd freak out.
It's important that you are in it. The most important thing, and you can read this online for yourself.
It's all environment.
You have a comfortable environment and you feel comfortable. Otherwise, because things like psychedelics take out your feeling and then amplify it. So if you're not feeling comfortable, it's going to make it worse. You know, if you're feeling really scared and sad, it's going to make it even worse. So,
but the thing, don't it's play weird. With it's, them. It's weird because when you are sad, yes, you do become more sad, but at least when I was on psychedelics, there's this undertone of beauty with the sadness because you're realizing like certain things of why you're sad and also you do lessons.
Your dopamine levels are increased because it is a drug. You know, it's like you actually, your serotonin stuff is elevated, so you do feel good. But
so, 100%. But it's just be careful if you are going to. If you're nervous about doing it, maybe now's not the right time, or there is no good time for you, and you should just stay away from it.
I think there are
negative side effects.
Yes, there are. I'll give examples. I personally, I've done acid my fair share. And, I do to this day have some degrees of visual impairment that I don't think will ever go
away. Like film grain.
When I look up at the sky, I see kind of like film grain. And I know other people in the YouTube sphere that have done acid and have the same thing, where certain textures I look at kind of feel like they might start to move, or I might see colors sometimes that aren't really there. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like I'm going crazy. But then I've done research and I've talked to my psychiatrist about it. You do run the risk of, when you do psychedelics, of permanently leaving an impact on your brain that after the fact, will remain, such as certain visual effects, and stuff like that. So it's not something to take lightly. Like, you think
it
about
it is an illegal substance.
It's illegal, first of all. I think that I am all in favor of pushing towards decriminalization of psychedelics, because I think for therapeutic purposes.
So is Joe Rogan.
Yeah, look at me and Joe Rogan are one of the same.
Joe Rogan love. You know, there's one thing that loves I am DMT. Honestly, I'm too scared to do DMT.
I don't know about DMT.
I hear people talking about DMT and things they see, like, there's this man in a hat that stands in the corner of the room and just...
He's 10 feet tall.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, what?
I don't know if I want that.
I don't want that. I'll go up into the sky and I meet God. I'm like, nah, I don't want to.
Like, it sounds cool as fuck, but at the same time, it's like, that's scary.
What if I see like this monster start to crawl on the walls and I'm like, like, I feel like I got to run away. But people always are explaining, it's not like that. It's not because you're thinking with a sober mind.
That's the thing. Like we were talking about earlier with comprehending higher beings, we can't think about what being on DMT is like, because when you were on something like DMT, you were not thinking in the same state you are now. So we can think all we want of what it would be like, but when you do it, it's not going
even
to be
down
like
to
that.
Alcohol, right? If you have someone who's never had a drink in their life, they can look at people that are drunk and they can kind of guess what it's like, but it's a different thing.
You don't know
to
it unless you
feel and actually be impaired by that drug. I feel like this whole podcast has been just psychedelics.
It's a big part. It got hippie, some hippie dippy bullshit. I'm personally for pushing the decriminalization and legalization of psychedelics in moderation, I think.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I want to say that I'm for it. I just want to do more. I haven't done enough personal research into like everything that. Like, I've just done it because, you know.
I think like stuff like shrooms and stuff, in terms of a therapeutic use, and even stuff like MDMA is there's studies that like when used in a therapeutic process can be very successful.
When you look at, well, Adderall is legitimately, it's not heroin, it's not cocaine, it's not meth, but
it's almost meth.
If it wasn't Adderall, it would be one of those things. You know what I mean? Like if it was on the streets as something, it would be that.
Yes. Yes.
Like it would be a hard drug that people were doing,
because
it is.
Yeah, exactly. But because it's so useful, it's allowed to be legal, you know, and people make a lot of money off of it, which is the big reason I think it's legal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of places Adderall is illegal, but, you know, Adderall kind of makes people into like superhumans depending on your
body. Well, it's illegal. And as you told me this, it's illegal in like pro sports league, of course.
You can't use it in athletic competitions.
Because it's like a steroid
e-sports.
For your brain and focus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very addictive and it's not good for your body at all, but it's legal because, you know, it makes people
ADHD
and also money. Adderall makes so much money for corporate, like big pharmaceuticals.
What would it be like for someone who has severe OCD to take Adderall?
I don't think it would I don't think it would really.
Like, would it have? Would it make them focus on their tics more?
It could, I guess. I don't know. That's something that you like. I can't answer.
That's just
a
fun question I posed. I just was throwing it out there for you.
I have to ask a psychiatrist that one.
Or you could just pretend to be a psychiatrist. Right
well,
now.
Ryan, I think it might make people, might make you focus a lot harder on your obsessions, and then you might have a freak out.
Nice.
That's actually why people with severe anxiety and OCD, things, stimulants like caffeine are recommended to like you're to stay away from, because that stuff intensifies your feelings, you know, like caffeine. When I had really bad anxiety back in high school, if I drank caffeine, it would be worse because I'd get a lot more anxious because it's like everything's heightened.
Yeah.
You know, including your anxiety. But
oh, guess what?
What?
I'm ending the podcast.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.